This morning's scripture reading on your Bible app or on your Bible is found in 1 Chronicles 17:3-6. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the former ways of his father David. He did not seek the Baals, but sought the God of his father and walked in his commands. So the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and then all Judah brought him tribute, and he had riches and honor in abundance. His mind rejoiced in the Lord's ways. I invite you to join with us this morning in reading from your Bible app or from your Bible from 1 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 1. After this, the Moabites and Ammonites, together with some of the Meunites, came to fight against Jehoshaphat. People came and told Jehoshaphat, "A vast number from beyond the Dead Sea and from Edom has come to fight against you. They are already in Hazazon, Tamar." Jehoshaphat was afraid, and he resolved to seek the Lord. Then he proclaimed a fast for all Judah who gathered to seek the Lord. They even came from all the cities of Judah to seek him. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the Lord's temple before the new courtyard. He said, "Lord, God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of all the nations? Power and might are in your hand, and no one can stand against you. Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and who gave it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in the land and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name and have said, 'If disaster comes upon you, sword or judgment, pestilence or famine, we will stand before this temple and before you. For your name is in this temple. We will cry out to you because of our distress, and you will hear and deliver.' Now here are the Ammonites, the Moabites, and the inhabitants of Mount Seir. You did not let Israel invade them when Israel came out of the land of Egypt, but Israel turned away from them and did not destroy them. Look how they repay us by coming to drive us out of your possession that you gave us as an inheritance. Our God, will you not judge them? For we are powerless before this vast number that comes to fight against us. We do not know what to do, but we look to you." All Judah was standing before the Lord with their dependents, their wives and their children. In the middle of the congregation, the Spirit of the Lord came on Jehaziah, son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of Jeha, and son of Mattaniah, a Levite from Asaph's descendants. And he said, "Listen carefully, all Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast number, for the battle is not yours, but God's." Amen. Friends, we invite you to pray together. Almighty God, we bless you for our lives. We give you praise for your abundant mercy and grace that we receive. We thank you for your faithfulness, even though we are not that faithful to you. Lord Jesus, we ask you to give us an all-around peace in our mind, our body, soul, and spirit. We want you to heal and remove everything that may be causing stress, grief, and sorrow in our lives. Lord, please guide our path through life and make our enemies be at peace with one another. Let your peace reign in our families, in our places of work, businesses, and everything that we find ourselves doing. Let your angels of peace go ahead of us when we go out and stay by our sides when we return. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We invite you to worship with us today.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ
Heavenly Father, we come to you now. We are begging you to come into our hearts and into our lives, for we are a thirsty people. We are a hurting people. We are a besieged people. And Heavenly Father, you are there, and we are asking you to come. Give us a real sense of your peace, Lord, because we need that right now. Give us a real sense of your presence, Lord, because we really need you now. So we ask you to come, Lord Jesus, come. Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come.
Well, good morning, my friends. This is our fourth Sunday in our series on Chronicles, Stronger Than Ever. And today we're looking at 2 Chronicles chapters 17 to 20. Where do you turn in your darkest moment? Well, today I want to introduce you to a man who did not know what to do, but his situation was a lot more serious than ours. He's a man I'd like to meet one day. Remember last week we talked about King Asa? Well, this is his son, and his name is Jehoshaphat, and he was the sixth king in the line of David. Now, Ezra, our teacher in Chronicles, here he introduces him to us. And if you've ever been in a tight spot, if you've ever been in a place where you didn't know what to do, if you've ever felt like you're facing an enemy who's bigger than you and could destroy you and all that you hold dear, well, Jehoshaphat might be your hero. Because Jehoshaphat faced all that and humbly confessed, I don't know what to do. He did that in front of God and everybody. Have you ever said that? I just don't know what to do. Yet, he did exactly the right thing, 8 times in a row. His story is in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Now open up your Bible, and if you got your notes there, open up some notes and pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, speak to me. Amen. Now, while you're getting your Bible and your notes out, let me tell you that Jehoshaphat was only 35 years old when he became king. And he reigned over Judah and the southern kingdom of Israel for 25 years. Jehoshaphat's story spans 2 wars and a very bad marriage. And I'll tell you about the bad marriage next week. It almost wrecked the kingdom and almost scuttled God's plans to send the Messiah through the line of David. So don't miss next week. Well, the story begins with 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and Donette read that for us a little earlier. You see, the Amorites, Moabites, and Edomites all lived on the east side of the Dead Sea. Their nations had been conquered under King David, and now they were starting to rebel. Now, how would you feel if you've got word that a huge army, much bigger than your own, was coming to get you? What would you do? Well, Jehoshaphat did a number of strategic things in this very dark moment. First, he resolved to seek the Lord, in verse 3. The second, he called for a fast, again in verse 3. And the third, he gathered the people together, and that's in verse 4. Now, last week, we learned God's promise to Asa. Do you remember it? The eyes of the Lord roam throughout the earth to show himself strong for those who are wholeheartedly devoted to him. Now, at the first sign of danger, Jehoshaphat sought the Lord. Why? He sought the Lord in all things. His heart was fully devoted to the Lord. How's your heart these days? Who or what is your heart devoted to? Now, to deepen his commitment, he called a fast. And when you fast, you're constantly thinking about food, which means you're constantly reminded that you do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jehoshaphat gathers the people together because there is strength in numbers, right? Yes. 2 are better than 1 because they have a good return for their labor. And wherever there are 2 or 3 gathered in Jesus' name, he's there in our midst. Hallelujah for that. Jehoshaphat does a 4th strategic thing. Verses 5 to 12, he prays. Jehoshaphat here reminds God of who he is and what he's done for them in the past. You rule with power, and you've been there for all the descendants of Abraham, he says. Now, Jehoshaphat affirms their commitment to the Lord. We built your sanctuary. We've worshipped you there, and now we're crying out to the Lord to you from there. He presents the problem. We're being invaded, Lord, by people once that we had mercy on. He calls on God for justice. Will you not judge, he says. He's reminding God that his reputation is on the line. The climax of Jehoshaphat's prayer is a prayer that I've prayed hundreds of times. He says, we don't know what to do, Lord. We don't know what to do, but we look to you. Ever prayed that prayer? I just don't know what to do. There was a season in my life where I had just to throw my hands up into the air and surrender to God. And God was saying, well, finally, you get it. I don't know what to do, Lord, but I'm looking to you. That prayer works on every occasion. Practice it with me. Repeat this out loud. I don't know what to do, Lord, but I'm looking to you. And this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast number, for the battle is the Lord's, not yours. It is God's. How many times have you faced something terrible and felt like you were all alone in the midst of it? You're not alone. And friend, if you are committed to the Lord, if you are wholeheartedly devoted to Him, if you have said, Lord, live your life through me and I will live for you for the rest of my life, then the eyes of the Lord are on you to strengthen you, to fortify you. The battle you are facing is not yours, it's God's. Look up and say these words, the battle is yours, Lord. Listen to this, my friends. Verse 17, you do not have to fight this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. He is with you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Tomorrow, go out to face them, for the Lord is with you. Remember that, Bill, Judy, Sally, George? The battle isn't yours, it's God's. The Lord is with you. Hallelujah. The fifth thing Jehoshaphat did, well, he led the people in worship. You see that in verses 18 and 19. They stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel loudly. Well, what do you suppose happened the next day? How many Israelites do you think died in the battlefield? Well, you look in verse 20. In the morning they got up early and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. As they were about to go out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe in his prophets, and you will succeed. He then consulted with the people and appointed some to sing for the Lord and some to praise the splendor of his holiness. When they went out in front of the armed forces, they kept singing, give thanks to the Lord, for his faithful love endures forever. Hallelujah. I don't know if you've ever thought about the power of singing, but meditate on this for a minute. They all sang, and the Lord heard them, and here's what happened. The moment they began singing, the Lord set an ambush upon their enemies, and they destroyed each other. Apparently, there's a hidden power in singing, my friends. There's power in praise. Something happens when we use our voices to make melodies to God. You might consider that the next time you're in trouble. The sixth strategic thing Jehoshaphat did was he appointed people to sing, verses 20 and 21. Who would have thought that a major move to defeat an enemy would involve music and voices? Now, bear in mind, Jehoshaphat and all the people don't know what's happened on the battlefield. They haven't even arrived yet. They've just marched along singing. Verse 24 says, when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked for the large army, but there were only corpses lying on the ground. Nobody had escaped. Here's the story. And a true story. Once upon a time, there was a big bad army coming against the people of God. The people did not know what to do, but they resolved to seek the Lord. They gathered together, they fasted and they prayed. They heard a word from God from one of his spokesmen, and they worshiped. They began to sing, and God performed a miracle. He ambushed their enemies. And the people lived happily ever after. But wait, there's more. Jehoshaphat and his people went to gather the plunder. They found among them an abundance of goods on the bodies and the valuable items, so they stripped them until nobody could carry any more. They were gathering the plunder for 3 days because there was so much. They assembled in the valley of Berakah on the fourth day, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, that place is still called the Valley of Berakah today. Berakah means blessing. The place became the Valley of Blessing. Jehoshaphat's seventh strategic move was he blessed the Lord in verses 26 to 29. And the rest, as they say, is history. So they came to Jerusalem to the Lord's temple with harps, lyres, and trumpets. The terror of God was all on all the kingdoms of the lands when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. Then Jehoshaphat's kingdom was quiet, for his God gave them rest on every side. This is the revival under King Jehoshaphat. I've got this, God says. The battle is mine. I invite you to come and watch. The eighth and final strategic move? They rested. Verse 30. They enjoyed the peace that God gave them. Ezra, who chronicles this story for us, is teaching us about how to rescue a nation. He's showing us that lessons from Jehoshaphat's revival. First, God is available and attentive in your darkest moments. God is there and God is aware. God knows everything there is to know about you and about me. He knows what you're going through. Ezra is showing us that prayer is more powerful than any enemy. Even when we don't know what to pray for, Jehoshaphat's prayer is one of the very simplest. God, I don't know what to do. Yet it's most profound, one of the most profound prayers in all of Scripture. He just says, we don't know what to do, Lord, but we look to you. Paul in the New Testament says, in the same way, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, because we do not know what to pray for as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with inexpressible groanings in Romans chapter 8, verse 26. When you're in a dark moment, you don't have to have the solution to your problem. You just have to remember who does. In this story, Ezra is showing this. God is able to turn whatever comes against you against itself. He can turn trials into triumph, failures into lessons, enemies into friends, or into providers for our every need. God can take anything that is coming against you and use it for you, because he is for you. Ezra is also showing us that God can turn evil into good. And that's in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Right after telling us that the Spirit prays for us when we don't know how to pray for ourselves, Paul says, and we know that in all things to work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purposes. Today we are facing an enemy too small to see, but too big to ignore, the coronavirus. And this is real, and a real enemy with real consequences. We're worried about losing our health, losing our loved ones. We're worried about losing our jobs and our finances. We're worried about equality. We're worried about politics. Come to me, Jesus said, all you are who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. He's saying this to you, my friend. I've got this. I've got your back. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you've preserved this story about Jehoshaphat to remind us to turn to you in all our darkest moments. The worldwide pandemic and its economic effects feel pretty dark to us, Lord. We don't know what to do, but we're looking to you. Please turn this virus upon itself, destroy it, and direct us to the Valley of Blessing, where we can pick up the plunder and give you all the praise. Now, before I finish my prayer, I know that all of us are facing this crisis together. But how it's affecting each of us individually is in slightly different ways. So I want to give you a chance to pray your own prayer of deliverance for your situation right now. Pray these words after me. Lord, I don't know what to do, but I look to you. Look at me once more time before I conclude my prayer. The Bible says, one with many friends may be harmed, but there is a friend who stays closer than a brother, Proverbs 8:18 and 24. That friend is Jesus. He was the Son of God who came to earth to show us how much we matter to God by giving his life in our place. Jesus wants to be with you and for you. He wants to be the friend who is closer than a brother. He wants to be your Savior, your leader, your forgiver. And in this moment, you are only one prayer away from that relationship with him that will make you and make all that he is available to you for all of the rest of you and all into eternity. What he asks is that you invite him into your life to be your Lord and Savior and your leader. So if you'd like to do that and become Jesus' friend and follower, I want you to lead you into this prayer that will make it so right now. If you want to do that, pray this prayer with me, and Jesus will come into your life. Lord Jesus, I admit I'm a sinner in need of a Savior, and I invite you to be mine. Come into my heart and live your life through me, and I will live for you for the rest of my life. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer, you are a child of God. May God bless you today.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see.
Sing God's praise.